In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of all things. He's Lord over people who go to church. He's Lord over people who don't go to church. It's just they don't realize it. But he's Lord over all. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. He's the beginning, the end, the alpha, the omega, the first and the last. And we've been hearing about that during this Lenten season, about what that looks like in the life of a Christian. And we've heard how Jesus is Lord and how what that means, his power over the evil one. We've heard how Jesus is Lord gives purpose to our lives, and then along with that purpose, there is accountability. Today we hear that Jesus is Lord means we have a place at the table. We have security. And there is great comfort and peace for us in that. May the Lord bless the speaking hearing of his word this morning. Because Jesus is Lord, because he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and his kingdom rules over all, that means he decides who's in and who's not in. You don't decide. I don't decide. Who you think should or shouldn't be in the kingdom of God doesn't matter, because Jesus is Lord. And Jesus told a story to help people understand this good news. In the story, a father has two sons. And this is a familiar story, and we hear a lot about the younger son, but there's an older son also, and we'll get to him. But the younger son is the one we often hear about. He wanted his share of the inheritance, which is fine, but normally you get your inheritance when dad dies. The son says, no, I want my inheritance now. In other words, he was saying to his dad, Dad, I wish you were dead. As the story Jesus tells goes, the father agrees to this, and so he divides his inheritance between the two sons, and he gives his younger son his share of the inheritance. The younger son takes his money, takes the property, and takes off, and he wastes it. The Bible says he squandered his property in reckless living. Blows it all. And after the money runs out, there's a famine in the land, hard to find food to eat, and the best job he can find is working for a pig farmer, feeding pigs. Now, here in the Midwest, we'd say, well, that wouldn't be such a horrible job, but that's because we're pagan Gentiles. And Jesus is first telling this story to Jewish people, and Jewish people have nothing to do with hogs. They don't want to be around them. They don't want to take care of them. They certainly don't eat them. They don't touch them. Nothing. And so for a Jewish person, like the worst possible job you could have would be feeding pigs. And that's the best job this young man can find. And plus, he's so hungry he'd like to eat the pig food, but nobody gives him anything. While he's at the bottom of the barrel, he comes to his senses and realizes his dad's hired hands. They've got it better than he does. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? Yes, he had taken and wasted his inheritance. Yes, by his actions, he had disowned his father and his family. But he realizes even his father's hired hands had a better life than he did. So he's going to go home. He's going to go home and he's going to ask his father, can it be a hired hand? That's what he does. If only his dad will give him a job. Hired hands are not part of the family. They have to earn their place. They have to earn their wages. Hired hands don't get invited to the boss's family reunion. Why not? Because they're not family. They're hired hands. And there are those, they don't have a place at the table. And there are those who have kind of learned that the hard way. A man gets a job, he works for his boss. He understands the boss. And the boss understands him, and he's a really good worker. He's a loyal employee. And he gets it. And the boss gets him. And the boss might even say something like, you're like a son to me. He is a loyal, faithful worker. He's a good employee. And then the boss retires. And he hands over the company. But he doesn't hand it over to his good, loyal employee. He hands it over to what might be a less than competent son. When the boss said to the worker, "You're like a son to me," what he really meant was, "I like you a lot, but you're not my son." And that's a hired hand. A worker is exactly that. He's a worker. He's a hired hand. He's not family. He doesn't get a place at the table. That's also true in the kingdom of God. A place at the table in the kingdom of God does not come by works, doesn't come by loyalty, doesn't come by competence. A place at the table of the kingdom of God depends on inheritance. An inheritance cannot be bought, nor is it based on worthiness. Blood is thicker than water. In another part of the Bible, a man asked Jesus a really odd question one day, and it's this question: "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And that's odd, because you can't do anything to inherit anything. Inheritance has to do with being born. How can I become Bill Gates's heir? Well, you can't. You can't, because you're not part of his family. Even if he likes you a lot, you're not going to get his riches, because you're not his son, you're not his daughter. Great men rarely have great sons. Rather, they usually have sons that are closer to average. But sons, no matter how mediocre or undeserving, remain at the table. They have a place. They get an inheritance. Not because they deserve it, but because they were born into it. They benefit from the work and genius of their fathers. You might say that's grace. They were simply fortunate enough to be born into the right family. Jesus is Lord. And because he is, he decides who's in and who's not in. Not you, not me. And Jesus says, you have to be born into his kingdom. That's how it works. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." There you have it. Now, if you think that sounds like baptism, you're right. You're right. By baptism, you get adopted into the family of God. You have a place at the table. There is a treasure there that you will never find the end of, because it goes on and on. He gives you a place, and he can do that because he's Lord. Well, back to the story. The younger son prepares to go home, and he practices what he's going to say to his dad. He's going to tell his dad, "I'm not worthy to be called your son after what I've done. Just, I want to be a hired hand." And he practices what he's going to say. And then he goes home and he says it. He says it to his dad. He says to his father, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And he wasn't worthy of it. And his dad doesn't argue with him. It was obviously true. The son was not worthy of the title of son. He was a jerk, and he was one of the worst sons the world has ever seen. By his actions, he had shown he had no regard for his father or his family. But what does the father call him? The father calls him son. He calls him son. Not because he's deserved it or earned it, but because that's who he is, and the father loves him. The father rejoices that his son has returned and is reconciled to the family. "For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Jesus receives unworthy sinners and he eats with them. It's not because sins don't bother him or he somehow looks past them, but it's because he loves us and has paid for our sins on the cross and offers us a place at the table, gives us a place at the table. But remember, there's another son, an older son. And some might think he's the good son. But he's also confused about what makes him a son. He thinks his father loves him because he's been so good. And that too is an insult to the father. Both of these sons are self-centered. One shows it by being wild, and the other one shows it by being prideful. But this older son, the responsible one, he also acts like a jerk. When his brother comes home and is repentant, he doesn't want to celebrate. His father goes out to him and he urges him to come in. And the father also calls him son. The father calls him son not because he's worthy of it. He calls him son because he loves him. And he too has a place at the table because the father wants him there. These two brothers, their behavior very different, their motives very similar, both self-centered, both of them need to repent. The younger one seems to get there first. But how does the father treat both of them? He loves them. He loves them, and he gives both of them a place at the table, not because of how they behaved, but because they're his sons. And he's the father, and he gets to decide. And so for you, God has chosen you. And you might be somewhere between being wild and being over-responsible, or somewhere in between. And maybe you've been one, and maybe you've been the other. But God gives you a place at the table because of Jesus. He calls you and baptizes you into his name, washes away your sin, and assures you of that security. And he can do that because Jesus is Lord. He gets to say, and he gives you a place. Rejoice in that good news. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory.